In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What shall I do? The question of a fool. Not the question of a Christian. A better way to change this question would be, how shall I do it? We should know what we should do. The epistle tells us what we should do. It tells us of the fruit of the Spirit. It tells us that we should make things manifest. That we should awake as one that's asleep and rise from the dead. That we should walk circumspectly. That we should redeem the time. We know what to do. But the fool does not know what to do. The foolish rich man wonders, what should he do? Why is this? Because he's blinded by something that he loves that is not God. In the case of the rich man, it is his possessions. Many other things can blind. For him, it was his possessions. And this love of possessions, this love of money that is the root of all evil, leads to selfishness, leads to foolish questions, leads to bad priorities, leads to just doing things that are not of life. They're of death. If you look at the epistle in the gospel today, it is describing two different men. The man who has life and the man who is dead before he's even dead. The man who's really a walking corpse. The rich man. Not just a person who's rich in possessions, but anyone who is not rich toward God. So just because you're not rich, just because you're having trouble making rent, that doesn't mean that you're not just like the rich man. Let us compare ourselves with the rich man, and with the man that the apostle is telling us we should be. So, the apostle says the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Something that we are given. A gift to us. Born of labor, but given. The fruit of the rich man was just what came out of the ground. It was given to him too. But he did nothing useful with it. The true fruit is what is in the heart. It's how the heart is changed. We've talked about this many times. Christianity is the changing of the heart. Christianity is the perfection of the human being. Christianity is to expunge darkness from inside our hearts and have them be all light. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth. That is what God gives us. All the other things are incidental. For the rich man, the things that he had that were temporal, that were physical, that he could touch, that gave him power, that gave him prestige, that gave him ease of life, to him that was fruit. And so, the rich man asked, what should I do? Because I have all this produce. I don't know what to do with it. And what does the apostle say? He says, we should awake as one that sleepeth and rise from the dead. This is not referring to later now. This is not referring to the resurrection at the end. This is referring to right now in your life. To live as one resurrected. And then to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. Do you feel that? Do you recognize that the days are evil? A Christian should. Some foolish biblical scholars talk about, well, this refers to the fact that in the beginning, in the apostolic time, they all expected Christ to come within, you know, a few years. So they were speaking of, this is the end times. That's malarkey. The days are evil because there are many evil things in the world. You don't have to look far to find evil in the world. Just go to your bathroom and look at the mirror. There's where evil is. God came to get rid of that evil. Or actually a better way to say it is for us to be able to rid ourselves of evil with Him helping us. The rich man, he had produce. He had could take his ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For him there was no evil. For him it was all just a game. A party. But the Christian sees evil in the world, first of all in himself, and then in all the terrible things that happen. The way people think, the way they live, the horrible and sad things that happen, destroyed lives because of sin. Truly, the days are evil. It should be uppermost in our mind. We're here to bring good to the world. First, by becoming good. And I was talking with Nicholas before the service. He's going to read in the Russian sermon that we read during my communion. He was talking that it's going to talk about the epistle, I think exclusively, and about redeeming the time. And that the way that this homilist is going to speak about it is that when there is a moment that you have a good thought, act upon it now. Don't wait. Redeem the time. A Christian will act like this because he knows the days are evil. He knows that this is a battle. He knows that life is not about what your ground produces or how much you have at home or whether you have a big screen TV or if you've saved up enough for vacation or any other thing. It is about the fact that we are in the midst of a war for ourselves and for each other. And that we don't have any time to spare, any time to waste. The rich man, all he thinks about is himself. Wastes his days. But the one who redeems the time, everything that happens to him is for a purpose. Everything. Life has a purpose. And if it has a purpose, then everything we do in it has a purpose. Every single thing. Every thought, every word, every activity. And if we are to redeem the time, then every time we have a thought that comes to mind that is good, we must act upon it. Now this presupposes that we have good thoughts. The rich man didn't have such thoughts that he would act upon. So he certainly would not redeem the time. And we too, let's be honest with one another. Many times during the day, our thoughts are foolish, or time-wasting, or sinful. So we should not act on those thoughts. The Christian life begins with thought, and thought to action. So the apostle is telling us how to think. Walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. A Christian must know this. Not something that you repeat to yourself in your head like a mantra, but the way that you live. You just know that your life is with purpose. Everything you do is with purpose. The rich man, nothing had purpose. So what happened to him? Well, he tears down his barns and he thinks life is going to be easy. And the angel comes to him and says, your soul is required today. Or tonight, actually. Night, darkness. And look what the epistle says. It says that all things are reproved, that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We're to be in the light. He's in the dark. And what are we to do? We are to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord. Happiness in our heart from prayer and from just being holy. And how does the rich man define happiness? Soul, thou hast many goods laid up for thyself for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And yet that night, his soul was required of him. He brought nothing with him, and he was a fool. It's all about redeeming the time. What are you doing with your time? You know, just recently I sent a quote to our blog that really amazed me, and about how we should not have ourselves feed ourselves with superfluous things and silly things and information that we really don't need. And I believe it. And yet, all the time, I find myself seeing something, learning something that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. All that matters is what I'm going to become. Same with you. That's all that matters. What are you becoming? Not what did you do today. Not how much did you earn. Not whether or not you're going to get a job promotion. Not whether or not you've got your vacation plan set. Or new life insurance. Or a new TV. All that matters is who are you? And who are you becoming? The rich man had no identity as that. He just lived according to the things that were given to him. The Christian doesn't live like that. The Christian is constantly changing. The Christian is constantly looking inside himself and to God to see what is the right way to act. Don't ask, what shall I do? Christian shouldn't ask that. We know what to do. To live in a holy way. To live in a way that is befitting being children of God. Now, we don't know how to do that. We need to learn. But we certainly know what to do. The contrast between this rich man and the Christian man is really acute. And it's especially apparent in the epistle and the gospel today. So which one are we? In between is not good enough. Okay, yeah, we pray some, we fast, we go to church, we do some things. But how much of our time do we spend just frivolously? How many times does the Lord give us boons, and yet we do not give unto others? This reminds me of perhaps arguably my favorite example from the Scriptures that I seem to go back to over and over again because I think it's so important. If we have thoughts that we should immediately act upon or else they're lost and the opportunity to do good and to be benefited by them is lost in a flash. Isn't that just like when the people of the Gergesenes came out to the Lord who had healed the man who had been demonized and they were afraid of him? God was in their midst. And what did they do? They said, depart from us. And he did. And he went away. And their opportunity to become good was gone. Redeem the time, brothers and sisters. Don't be like the rich man. It's not about possessions. It's not about wealth. It's about attitude. It's about purpose in life. Everything you do in life should be for the salvation of your soul and because of your love for God, which should overflow within you like rivers of living water. May God help us to redeem the time.